Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Please rise, everybody, as we receive the incredible ministry of Dr. David Ogwuemi.
Good morning, everyone. It's a special honor for me to be here. I need to say something to the Koinonia family. I have joined you. No, It's true. This house can be described from many dimensions. It's a house of honor. It's a house of David. It's a house of worship. It's a house of excellence. But it's also a kingdom house. I salute you, sir. I honor you. And I love you. I love you. That's the most important. I do. It's true. I can see what God has raised you for. I can see the strategic role. And all of us must do everything to make sure that your hand stays strong. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to honor my very dear friend, Apostle Felix. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. Of course, all the generals. Thank you, sir, for that message you just shared. I took notes, critical things. The last part is you either control the environment or the environment. Wow. Okay, today we want to talk about the human problem, how to solve it. I don't know if you have noticed something. God made us, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. God made us in his image. And the first image of God revealed in scripture is creativity. The Bible said in the beginning God created. God has attributes. He has qualities that define him. But the first one revealed is creativity. So God created three things. He created creation. I'm just using three C's to talk about it. You can use different ways to say it. He created the universe. That's creation. He created creatures. Animal kingdom and everything that moves and crawls. All the other. And then he created creators. And the one that is the creator is the one he made in his image. So he made us to be co-creators with him. Now, God's idea, God's plan when he was doing that is that once you get the human person right, all the other problems in that environment, in that society, in that place can be solved. So as people build, design, created, and commissioned to function like God, because when you say God made us in his image, maybe I should read it, let us make man in our image after our likeness so they can have dominion. Let them have dominion. Now, God made us like himself. The best way to understand that is when you as human beings give birth to your children. Your child is born human just like you. So the difference now between that child and the father or the parents is development. And that's what I'm going to discuss. How do we develop ourselves? How do we develop the people God has given us to come to the full capacity in God, where the presence of that man is like the presence of God in that environment? God planned that the earth will be a reflection of heaven, but that human beings will be his own reflection. Human beings will be God expressed in the flesh. Now, Adam was the original image bearer. From Adam, all of us who are his descendants, we have had a model. You know, in manufacturing, when you want to create a car or any product, you create the mold first. If you use block, you create the block mold. In a block industry, you create the mold first. The mold is the first fruit. The idea is that when you take the raw materials and put into the mold, they come out, the product comes out taking the same shape. So Adam was the mold, the first mold of God in a human form. The rest of his descendants were to follow that pattern. So you can now see what Satan did when he recruited Adam into his rebellion, is that Satan did not attack the product, he attacked the mold. Because if you come to a block industry and destroy three blocks, as long as the mold is intact, you will remake them. But if you destroy the mold, if you change the mold, then you have affected every product that will follow. And that's exactly what Satan did. He went and did this attack at the foundation, so that every other fruit, every other person that will come out of Adam will be damaged. He destroyed human development from his foundation. That's what the devil did. He poisoned the tree from the roots. So what did God do to solve the problem? He sent a second mold, a second Adam. And he sent somebody that is exactly like him. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 said that Jesus, please can you put it up? Who being the brightness of God's glory, God's glory, the express image of his person. Show Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible? He's talking about Jesus. You see, that thing God created originally that was damaged, he sent a brand new mold that is exactly like him. Now, if you understand this, you know what the end product will be. All the work of ministry is to build human beings, build capacity to come to the standard of God. And since God is in the spirit, invisible, we don't know what he looks like. He has sent us his express image. God in a human form. So that we will know what God looks like, and then we will know what we are meant, created to look like. In other words, the coming of Jesus was to do two things. He came to show us the Father. Then he came to show us us. So in him, in studying him, I get a revelation of who the Father is. Because I'm created in his image. I can't become what I don't know. But in studying him, I get a revelation of who I am. As he is, so are we in this world. If this foundation is clear, then we have set the goal for ministry. The whole goal of ministry is to take human beings from Egypt, redeem them from bondage, slavery to sin, and then build them to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So if you now understand this, you can break it down into the processes now that delivers the result. That's what I'm going to draw for you on the board now. It's like an industry. It's like a manufacturing process in an industry. I studied industrial chemistry. So when you see an industry that produces anything, you will see the starting point where they bring in the raw materials and do the input. Then you see the second stage, which is process. What they take those raw materials through. And sometimes you have process one, process two. Then you finally get to output. And when they get to the product, the output, then the output is deployed into the market to create the outcome. When you produce a car, that's not the final stage. The final thing is when the car is carrying people and doing transportation. You don't create product for product's sake. You create product to solve a problem. And that's how it is with human development. The church needs to rediscover now how to take men, how to make men, how to mold men, and produce a Christ-like man out of him, and produce Jesus men. And when I say Jesus, I don't mean that religious thing that we normally get in our head when we say making people to be like Jesus. You're actually literally producing God in the flesh. You're producing a creator. You're producing a leader in that class. You're producing a world changer. You're producing a deliverer. When you understand it, for example, as I show you what I'm going to show you now, take personal responsibility to pass yourself through the production chain, the process. Don't wait for any other person. But then you have to need input. When you take the responsibility, that's the difference between us and ordinary product. We have a will. God gave us a mind. We are spirit beings with a soul that live in a body. We don't have to leave our destiny in the hand of somebody else. So as an individual, you take responsibility for your own growth and outcome. Then as ministers, as churches, we have to now build structures and systems along the five processes I will show you. As governments, as leaders, as business leaders, as leaders of organization, you have to realize that the people you brought in, you call your staff, are not supposed to be left at the stage you met them. So you also have to create a system for developing your leadership pipeline. So as one CEO is leaving, you're not running around looking for one. You are growing them in your organization. And what the organization is not able to finish, you outsource those ones. A successful business is not the one that makes only profits. A successful business is the one that makes people while making profits. A successful company is not the one that comes to a community and just harness their resources, build a lot of wealth and escape. No. I don't care if you're an oil company or any type of company. A successful company is the one that makes and transforms that community where that business is found while making profits. So if you look at that Genesis 1, the one who is the expert in human development, the one that invented human beings. He's also the person that invented the planets, the galaxies, invented all the resources we have on the earth. That person that invented, that person that created, that person that makes human beings, that person that even when the product got damaged, put another program, a program of redemption into place. He developed, watch, three processes here in Genesis. The first is building image. Exactly like God, create a human being to have God's image. And this is where the nature of God and his attributes. God has three type of attributes. I don't want to go into God. Maybe it's another day's discussion. Because that's the standard we are copying. Okay. So that's the first thing there. The second is likeness. You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, I actually thought the two things are the same. No. God is not using tautology. The image of God is different from the likeness of God. The image of God is who God is. And there are attributes of God that define that. For example, God is faithful. God is love. The image of God are his There is a one word you can use to sum it up, the divine nature. When you say somebody is born again and somebody is becoming like Christ, this is the first thing we must produce. A man of love, a man of integrity, a man of humility. Just be looking at Jesus. A man of love, compassion, a person that is merciful, a person that is gracious and generous, a person that is submissive. All those qualities you see in Jesus, that's what he's talking about. So Paul was talking about this one in Romans chapter 8. He said the goal, show them verse 29. Is it verse 29? Yeah. This is one of the greatest goals in ministry. This is what we are to produce. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm about to show you the development process now. So, but it is good to know what the end product is supposed to look like. And any church that pays the price to develop this, we have a transformational ministry. A ministry that transforms people and a ministry that transforms the society. A church will not have capacity to transform the society until you transform your people. Because your people are the product you deploy. I told you when you get the product, a car is created. The car doesn't stay in the factory. The car is not deployed in the market to start solving human problems. So when the church gets people created, molded in Christ's image, they are the ones you deploy. You deploy into all spheres of society, into government, into education, into sports, into the media, they will go and transform it. It is then we are actually doing the job of being the light and the salt. If we fail in our ability to produce human beings the way God planned, we have also failed in the ability to change our world. You see what you are talking about faithfulness? These are part of the image of God. The image. You see him faithful, trustworthy. This is why I would rather die than betray anybody that is my friend. I can't do it. Of course, you know, these days people are talking about I'll do and repent. No, there are things I can't do. Me. There are certain things I cannot do. I'm not just a Christian in words. I'm a Christian in life. There are things I cannot do. Even if you put a gun in my head, even if the whole world is coming, I can't take somebody's money. I can't do it. It's not a matter of, did anybody see you? Even if all the temptation in the world come, I can't touch somebody's wife. I can't do it. It's not a matter of, let's do repent, the blood of Jesus. You don't understand the program. You have not understood the program. God is working to conform everyone to the image of Christ. So that when you see Jesus and his brothers and sisters, you won't know who is who. He's just the firstborn. Remember, he's the mold, the standard, the model. The rest of us are like him. That's why, it doesn't matter if everybody is out there criticizing, attacking. You cannot get me, not in private, not in public, attacking another person, attacking another minister. You can't get me there. If you come before me and you have issues about someone, when you finish, I'll find something good about him and amplify. People have tried. My fellow friends who are in ministry have tried. When you finish, they say, leave him alone. There's a book I wrote called The Law of Proper Speech. Next time I come, I need to bring it here. I've written over 125 books. I've not bothered myself with marketing. But that one, because of our country, because of what is going on in ministry, because of we are destroying what God gave us with our own hands. Do you know that even our country, the Bible said, by the mouth of the righteous, his city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked is overthrown. Do you know what starts war? Words. Do you know what causes divorce? Words. Do you know what destroys churches? Words. Look at the kind of ministry God has given us here. This is a gift from heaven. This man and this movement. But some people, if they are not trained, will come in here, initially they will get blessed, get whatever. After they stay a while, they meet one or two person with faults. And then they will go and start talking. Excuse me, you came from a family. Are your brothers and sisters perfect? Don't you have issues in your home? You are parents, you have children. Are your kids perfect? Will you go on TV, on social media to destroy your children? Will you go on social media to destroy your own brothers and sisters? Oh, why will you come to the church of God and expect perfection? I told you there is a process leading to it. We are not there yet. And then you see one or two mistakes, you carry it. You say, my truth. So what those guys that created the platform are doing, they want to make money, gather followership, while destroying you and destroying your family. That's why there are many of us, you shouldn't be allowed to be close to a man of God. Because when you get close enough, you will see. For example, somebody was complaining about a particular minister. I said to him, my friend, let's leave the man you're talking about. Look at your Bible. All those men that are giving us as example, except Jesus. Which one? can you not find 140? If you get close to Moses, you see anger. If you get close enough to Elisha, you see somebody that can curse children and lie on wood. You know, if I do it, you won't like me anymore. If you go close enough to Peter, our first pope, you see somebody that once in a while, he denied Jesus. One time self, he even went back to his profession, his business. Jesus had to come and call him a second time. So, if you are Jesus, you probably will not hand the ministry to him. Because you won't see any other good thing. This guy is a failure. He can't be trusted. What gives me grace to raise great men? I have a long patience. I have patience. I have endurance. And I have long suffering. Where did I get it? Image of God. God is patient and long suffering with us. I wasn't born like that, though. Very impatient. Don't like traffic. I don't like. When I studied the mold that I'm made after, I found that no, I can't be like this. You don't lead people like that way. You would destroy what you're trying to build. So, you see, spiritual and moral development is the first job, but it doesn't end there. He said the second one is the likeness of God. Now, what is the likeness of God? Is how God functions. How he gets the results that he gets. I gave you his first likeness, creativity. He is a creator. I gave you another likeness. He is a builder. In heaven we are going to. It says it's a city whose designer and builder is God. I give you another likeness. He is a planner. Can you imagine that the marriage supper of the Lamb that is still has been planned? Can you imagine that man's redemption was planned before the foundation of the world? He has foresight. And another likeness, he has foresight. Terrific foresight. Another likeness, he is visionary. You see, this one is not character quality. These are functional qualities. So, the likeness of God is what is called the wisdom of God. So, spirituality, morality is not enough. Let me ask a question now. If you're a businessman, you've started your own bank or your own company, and then we bring you to church to hire people. And on this side, we have people that have the best skills, that are wise. They will drive your company to the highest level of profitability. They know, they are system people, they are good. They know how to deliver the job. They have the know-how. But they are very corrupt. They will steal that company dry. You see, they have likeness. They can get the job done, but they don't have character. On this side, we have good people. Oh, humble, loyal. They will stay with you till you die. They will not steal. They will not, but no productivity. You give them a job, where you come back, where you left them is where you... Even in ministry, just think about it. You are training pastors. So you have this very good, he is honest, he will never lie, he is loyal. You send him to a chapter, 5 years after, 15 people. So he has the nature of God, but lacks the wisdom of God. But this group has the functionalities of God. They understand how to get things done. They can make things happen. But lack the nature of God. When it comes to their character, they are like Satan. they can plot your debt, even though they can grow profits. They can sleep with your wife. They can even be sleeping with both the mother and the daughter. They can steal your company dry. Now, here is the question. Which one will you employ? Do you see the two problems? Which of these two problems do you think Nigeria is facing in governance? Is it competence problem or character problem? Now, do you see the problem the church has to solve? There is only one factory on earth that can produce human beings the way God designed it. That will have both the image and the likeness in operation. I was pastoring in a city. I actually pastored for 7 years. I stopped pastoring for a long time. I moved into the apostolic phase, you know, but I pastored for 7 years. And till tomorrow, I'm the only general overseer that is always on transfer. I'm looking forward to today I meet my colleague, because 7 years is the highest I stay in a city. And when I come to a city, for example, I came to Abuja. I completed 7 years in Abuja. I have left Abuja. The reason you are seeing crusade, advert for crusade, is because I have left. I don't do crusade while I'm in the city. When I come to a city, I don't make noise. I don't talk. I build men. This thing. It takes me time. When I completed and I have certain number of people, the minimum list is the 120 Jesus started the church with. But I always said higher standard than that. When I have it in any, when I go on mission, I have a mission strategy. I don't make noise. You will see me carry crusade to a country. You know, there are different ministry models. Eh? I'm discussing an apostolic model now. There is evangelistic model. One of my mentors is Rehab Bonke. He doesn't do this. He just bring evangelistic crusade. Now, God was teaching me. Let me show you something. Daniel chapter 9 verse 20. Let me show you something. Daniel was praying for the nation of Israel that failed. They went into captivity in Babylon. And in the course of the prayer, the angel appeared to him. This is what he said. And while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sins, the sins of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountains of my God. Look at verse 21. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, that's Archangel Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Look at what he said in verse 22. He informed me and talked with me. And look at what he said. Oh, Daniel, I have come forth to give you skill and what? So I did ministry, but there was a time I had breakthrough like this. This particular breakthrough. So the model changed. Because I'm after results that will leave me and keep going. That is the reason why we changed the model. But the model is slower. It's not as fast as the evangelistic model. But it produces long-lasting results. This is why, for example, if Apostle Selman did not bring me here, there is no city where we are doing a crusade. You will see me around that city. You won't. I come in like a guest speaker. The day the event is starting, I come in. When we did Lagos Stadium, I was at Harvard University. 2 days to the event, I flew into Nigeria. And the day of the event, I flew into Lagos. I was not part of it. The only part is when they catch me, they tell me, sit down, do this talk. Tell the people that you are coming. Because when we advertise, you don't talk. Some of them will wonder if it's real or not. So I do that part. That's all. But I couldn't have done it many years ago. When I get to a city, that's what. Because there are systems that deliver the results. And the success in ministry, you rise or fall with men. Your capacity to build men. Your ability to build men is what will decide your success in the present and your success in the long term. So when you see apostle, you see him investing in systems, processes, structure, training. That is a man that has tremendous understanding. Because he's equipped with supernatural gift. He can ignore training, ignore the, and he will still get the result. The problem is, the result will die with you. Watch the greatest miracle ministry of the Old Testament, Moses. What happened to Moses' generation? Only two people. Watch Jesus again. You know that at a particular time, Jesus had lost all the crowd, lost all his disciples, except 11 men. Out of the 12, he has lost one, two, except 11 men. But the men he built was what recovered Jerusalem for him, recovered all the nations of the earth. If he did not build men, that ministry would have ended with a cross. I noticed that Jesus said, "It is finished," twice. He said one on the cross, he said one before the cross. The one he said on the cross was the work of redemption. All the price that needs to be paid for man's redemption is finished. We don't need to add anything to the cross to be saved. That's, it is finished on the cross. But in John 17, before he went to the cross, he was praying and bringing a report of his ministry back to the Father. He said, "Father, I have finished the work that you gave me." So I asked myself, what did you finish when you have not died? And he explained it through the prayers he made. "The men you gave me, I have prepared them, I have taught them, I have showed them." So, like, people that are gifted, anointed, have a tendency, they just follow the anointing and be healing, doing crusades. They don't build people. So one day, their season is over. And then you look around, no successor. You look around, no structure. You look around, no systems. You look around. If they don't take time to document, to also write a book, to tell, there is no legacy. Yet the man was a powerful general. So when you build the image, the divine nature and substance into people, and you build the divine functionalities and the wisdom and the systems that get result, and you combine it, you produce a man that can have dominion. So, this is the way I write it. I said, the first is being image. The second is doing the wisdom of God. And the third is having. Is that not what Genesis 1:26 said? Dominion, and let them have dominion. If I pick one aspect of dominion, for example, financial dominion, the Nigerian church many a time want to start with having. without taking people through the process. So we promise them many things that can never come to pass. Because the processes that delivered our result is not in place. We like the having. Where is the being, the transformation of that person? Where is the being, the transformation of that person to become? Because you have to become before you can have. The man that God gives the vision and the man that fulfills the vision are two different versions of that man. The man that received the vision, Joseph, of what he was going to do in Egypt, and the Joseph that was sitting on the throne when his brothers arrived, two different versions. The one that God gave the vision was an immature young man. Not matured in wisdom. Not even matured in certain things. When he saw the vision, the way he interpreted the vision or communicated the vision is that he was going to be the one enjoying, his brothers would be the ones serving him, bowing to him. No wonder they all wanted to kill him. There was another man like him that was given a vision for the same people of Israel, Moses. But when Moses cast the vision, communicated it, 3 million people left Egypt and followed him. When Joseph communicated his vision, they plotted how to eliminate him. Because when he did the vision casting, it was just about himself and his brothers as his slaves. When Joseph matured, 13 years after he was 30, he was now prime minister and he reunites with his brothers. He communicated the same vision a second time, but he changed the way he communicated. You know what he told them? He said, God sent me ahead of you to preserve your lives. He didn't put me here for you guys to be licking my shoe. He put me here to make a way for you. When you communicate a vision and you show people what is in need for them, they will leave whatever and follow you. If you only tell them what is in need for you and they can't see themselves in it, you are inviting rebellion. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? When Moses did his own vision casting, what he told the people, that the God of your fathers have remembered you. That the God of your fathers, remember the covenant he made with your fathers. And now he sent me to bring you out of bondage and to take you to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He did not say anything about Moses. He didn't say, I'm going to be your president. Make sure that my term is 3 tenor or that I will be life president. He didn't say anything about Moses. But ultimately, he's going to lead them to death. He didn't say anything about what he would gain from it. He just talked about how their life will be transformed, how their future will look different. Everybody packed their bag and followed him. So, the man whom God gives a vision, the man that gets born again, it is not that version that actually fulfills the mandate. He has to be passed through a process of development. Okay. Let me draw it for you on the board. It's called the Dominion Pyramid. So I'm drawing so that those projecting can draw and project it. Pyramid. So what you have is a triangle broken into 4 segments. I'm looking for words that will just rhyme, so I will use it so that for you to remember. So I'm going to use D. I'm going to use D1, D2, D3, and D4. But this triangle has a foundation. That's why it's a building. It has a foundation. So, it's either I call the foundation D0, ground zero, because it goes down. Foundation usually goes in. Or I can make it D1. So whichever way you choose. If you can make the foundation D1, then you construct to D5. If you make the foundation D0, ground zero, then you can construct D1 to D4. But you see that there are 5 processes. What is D1? Deliverance. What is D2? Discipleship. What is D3? Deployment. What is D4? Is dominion. This is when Joseph is sitting on the throne, changing a whole nation. What is D0? Download. In my heart, I'm thinking, which one should I discuss first? Okay, what is deliverance? It is salvation. Put it beside it. It's bringing people out of Egypt, getting people saved. And many of us are good at that one. What is D2? That is disciple. It's development. That is training and developing those human capital that you got saved. So the way we are complaining that in Nigeria, a lot of our children are out of school children. The parents do D1, they give birth to them. They deliver them into the world. But a lot of the parents, and the further you go up north, the more the problem. They won't pay the price to develop those children by sending them to school. D2 is human capital development. There is human capital development in the kingdom, which is the process. There is human capital development in nation building. D3 is deployment. This is where you get, sometimes we call it employment. The kingdom does not use that word. The kingdom uses deployment. This is where people go out to start doing the job. After education, people need to get busy to create wealth, to start impacting their world. And it is that leads to the final transformation. This transformation is societal, organizational transformation. This is what we mean by kingdom influence. Kingdom influence. You become a prime minister. This is now David on the throne. This is now that man changing the world. This is now that man fulfilling destiny. Okay, amazingly, I have black, so I'll use black to do it. I want to show you something. I'm going to deal with download now. What is download? It's prayer, it's communion, it's worship, it's fasting, it's all those times spent in the presence of God. So let me use the word prayer. Apostle, you see that foundation, the one at the foundation, is the school of the Spirit. The other ones can be taught. That foundational one cannot be taught. People have to be taken through the experience. And when they are taken through the experience, there are four things that happen. So, but just before I explain this thing, I want to show you something. I want you to see what we are facing in the church. Look at the pyramid. As you go up, it gets narrows. By the time you get to level, the ultimate level, please, can you show in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 2 verse 10, that God's plan is to bring many sons to glory. But reality is that it is 1 to 2%. 1 to 2% that get there. And this is why I'm teaching what I'm teaching now. The church needs to take the issue of human development serious and start expanding that upper echelon. How many billionaires do we have? How many people are here now that can, with one check, write off the cost of the building project? How many people here can help? We need this policy change in government. You can just walk in there, talk to the president and change it. How many people here do we have, like Joseph? Okay, Nigeria's economy is in shambles. We want you to go now and help us recalibrate and regrow the economy. How many? Look at the bottom, salvation. 70% and above is what is here. And above, in some churches, 90%. So we are very good at bringing people out of Egypt. After we bring them, they die. They die there. And the promised land is on top. And multitudes are not able to get there. So many of us, our ministries resemble the Moses ministry, the Moses generation. We are powerful at deliverance. We have miracles. We can bring people out. And you know, this is where I started. And I'm still in it. I've not left it. So when I teach this, don't think I'm against miracles and crusades and city impact. I do it till tomorrow. But in the course of the journey, I discovered something. I discovered this is not how to build to last. No. The same people that we did deliverance on are the ones we are doing deliverance on again. The same people that God healed are the ones getting healed again. When are they going to move forward? Something is wrong. I began to cry. I began to question what is going on. That's when I realized that there is a leadership pipeline. There is a development system that the kingdom has. I just didn't understand it. Deployment. People that are out there making is just about 10%. Discipleship is maximum 20%. Some churches, remember, this is 10% to 20%. The ones that are doing very well. Many churches don't have up to 10%. Many churches don't even have people that are properly discipled up to 5% in their congregation. We are good with pulling crowds. After pulling them, take them through the process, we don't know what to do. I'm telling you my journey, what I went through. Because I started with evangelistic. When you do ground zero and seek God, somewhere along the anointing of God will come upon you. So I found myself in so many problems. We have pulled so many people. They have been healed. They have been, delivered. They have been raised from the dead. They have been raised. After they sit in church for years, there is nothing. Their life is not moving anywhere. You know what happened? You see the same man who got healed is now stealing. You see the other one. I don't want to say some things. A friend of mine was telling me when they were having a lot of stealing going on, in the church, not outside the church. They will call meeting, hold meeting with the elders, deacons, and other. When they finish, they will change the style. Today they will say, we use yellow, whatever, to do offering taking. When they finish, there will be a lot of stealing. They ended up finding out that the thieves attend the meeting. So when they change color, the thieves will change color. And finally, the man, he got to a point, he sought for counselor, and he was told, don't tell anybody what you're about to do. Just change certain things, put cameras. When they are not there, let them not know. There are some type of cameras, some can be hidden in flour, all kinds of things. You won't even know. So do that. You are dealing with very intelligent demons. So he did. And Sunday finished. See Deacon James, an elder. And he has a group of ushers that are not the ushers in the church. They are his payroll. If they choose uniform, they will sew that uniform. Everybody will wear it. And if they decide the particular method for taking, they will go. And I saw the window, the camera traced them to the booth where they were loading all the money. And security men, intelligence people that they brought, they said, don't act. So because they can deny why they are doing it. Let them finish. Let them start driving off. Pretend that you are even allowing them to leave the gate of the church. Then arrest all of them there. They can't deny. So when they got arrested, they brought them. Do you know that one of the boys stealing, but it's the elder that recruited the boy, was a crippled man that was healed in one of the crusades. Yeah. They had to forgive that one. They have to forgive him. Because when they asked him what, he said, I got healed and I joined the church. I've been in the church for 2 years, every hunger. One time I started telling God, is it a mistake that you healed me? He said, the days I used to beg in Lagos, he mentioned the amount, whether it's sometimes 5,000 a day, 6,000 a day, multiplied by 30 days. He said, I used to make money when I used to beg and all that. But now I'm healed. I have joined the church. There's nothing. So this deacon came and told me that he has a job for me. He said, he didn't explain to me that he was stealing. You know, I thought when they carried the money, but he always pays me. When they carry the money and go home, that is how the church actually operates. Even though in my head I used to wonder, why is all church money ending up in this man's house? The man recruited two of his children. So when we don't disciple, we are like fishermen that go cast nets and catch a lot of fish. But no processing of the fish. So after a while, what happens? They grow worms, they start smelling, they putrefy. So inside your boat, which is the church, where you have brought people from the world, inside is now smelling. Because you have rotten fish, rotten all kinds of behaviors because they were not developed. At a personal level, you see now you have to take responsibility for your own growth, because the fullness of what God promised you, he will not entrust it in your hand till you come to manhood. An heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a slave, he's not different from a servant. Even though he is master of all, he is lord of all, the father will not give him the inheritance. He first puts him under tutors and governors and mentors and trainers for him to mature. You know, apostle is a man of love. He has compassion. When he ministers, you see that flowing. But in training, he's a general. So in training, there will be correction. There will be rebuke. Don't take it personal. If you take it personal, you think he hates you. He doesn't hate you. The issue is that he has to love your destiny, your final outcome, more than leaving you the way you are. If you are not taught, when you are in the process and there is a day of correction, a day of rebuke, you get offended, you fall out of there. Then the product dies damaged. It's not finished. It's like a medical student that left in second year. He will never be a doctor. If he tries, he can only be a quad doctor who that will be arrested later. How will you like They tell you the school of piloting is 4 years training, 5 years training. But it is my brother, you know, he left after first year. And now he has floated an airline. That you don't know that ministry is an airline that fly people. You put an immature man, put a novice on the cockpit flying, and you know, and some of us are going to be flying millions of people to their destination because he doesn't have patience. I don't have time for apostle and this training thing. I've been in Koinona. They want to jump out. You go and do deployment without proper human development. And when you get there, you crash people into the Atlantic Ocean. How will you like when they tell you that that man left his training at first year and jumped to float an airline? How many of you will enter his flight? What about a doctor that jumped out second year, medical school, and floated a hospital? How many of you would like him to operate you? You see, he can open your tummy. The problem is, I heard the recommendation you gave to the church in Nigeria. You see, that's one of the things you are crying about there. A lot of quacks in ministry. And it is human life that are being ruined. While he was talking, I saw somebody that God has given heart and love for the body. Because where your love stops, that's where your ministry stops. If you are tribalistic, you will die a tribal champion. If you are racist, there are places God can use you. For you to succeed in South Africa, you loved South Africans. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the problem. God wants many sons up here, because dominion starts at D3. It is at here, at this level that dominion starts. Deployment is priesthood. Deployment is also purpose in action. Purpose in action. That is manifesting destiny. So it could be in government, it could be in whatever sector. There is no dominion without deployment, and there is no dominion without development, discipleship. We call it in the kingdom. Okay, I'm going to solve three problems now. Number one, a lot of ministers face this challenge. I faced it. When I finally discovered that our ministry had no training system, discipleship system, how do you develop one? That's not the one I want to solve, because I want to close. The one I want to solve is when we finally develop the training system. We found out that our people were not ready to follow us to D2. They love D1. Because D1 deliverance is back with supernatural. It's miracles. Healing. Just remember what Moses did in Egypt. Signs and wonders. Move of the Holy Spirit. And usually D1 is fueled by D0. A lot of prayer and other. So I noticed our people could flow on those two. Now I want to take them so that they can become something. When you call for the training, when we are doing the miracle services and the crusades and all the healing services and all the breakthrough services, multitudes, When we put a training program in place, you come there, you see 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. How does a pastor solve that problem? To get your people, not just to leave Egypt, but to go through the wilderness. Wilderness is discipleship period. It's the training period that produces the people that will conquer Canaan. Because all the problems of Moses happened in the wilderness. That's why he had rebellion. That's why there are times the people will say, let's go back to Egypt. And a lot of pastors, that's where the problem starts. Now, notice that at level, at D1, look at it. It's 70 to 90%. Do you see the number of people that came for this conference? Put training. So there are places where a lot of raw materials are not developed, not just because the pastor doesn't have the heart, the people are not willing to follow. Because when they come there, you are teaching, you are training. They are looking for, receive it, prophetic, breakthrough. Somebody there, the hand of God is coming. They want to fall. They want the move of God. They want all of that. They want the fireworks of the kingdom. And the goal of deliverance is attraction to pull people. But it does not develop people. Maybe I should answer deliverance. How do you pull people? I have 7 keys that work there, but 2 very simple ones is develop ministries that are need-based, the needs of the people, the problems of the people, ministries that tackle the problem, the basic problems of people. If you start a relationship ministry now, and you are addressing, you can grow a crowd. Healing ministry, deliverance ministry, prophetic, supernatural, you will pull crowds. The second key I will give you, engage the supernatural. The other technologies are there. There are about 7. But then how do you pull people towards training and the process? If the only thing you market, advertise, is their need, there will be healings, there will be miracles, they will follow you. The moment you switch to discipleship, to training, to capacity building, you lose them. So to get them to follow you to that next level, you have to cast a higher level of vision. There are other things, needs that human beings have, but they are not physical. They are aspirational needs. Let me test one. How many of you here, and even though I'm asking a question now, the truth is that I know how to make it happen. How many of you here would like to make $1 million cash in your account by the end, this is already end of the year, by November 2026? How many of you? Do you see what is going on? This aspiration that you have requires process to get you there. So you see now, when I touch this, I now tell you, we are starting the training that will help you there. There are other things we're going to do in that training, I won't tell you. So we put those ones at level 1, level 2. This one that is attracting you, we'll put it last. So we tackle character issues. I know it's money you want to come and learn how to have. But now we have to show you the relationship between integrity and world creation. When we finish tackling your values and your character, we'll tackle competencies, the wisdom for creating, and then we'll bring you to where you can build the systems and the processes. And at that moment, they can have patience with me when I'm going. And every now and then, if I see that It looks like we cast the vision again. Then they wake up again. Let me give you another one. How many of you would like to have failure-proof marriage? Your marriage can never crash. Let me see your hand. How many of you would like to have affair-proof marriage? That marriage will never have an affair. Let me see your hand. Do you see now? What you want now is not part of receive it. You fall. Get up. You have a good marriage. You can't. Fall 1,000,000 times under the anointing, your marriage can still break. This thing you want requires a process, training to get you there. So now, because of that, we are starting a school. That's why the people will come. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Okay, let's talk about Joseph revolution and all. How many would like to get to the level of Joseph and Daniel, where you are helping to influence the destiny of Nigeria and the continent of Africa? How many of you would like to get there? You see now, this is not those basic need, hunger, come and eat, come and receive miracle, come and this. This is a higher need. But to become a Daniel, to become a Joseph requires a process. If I wave hands, all of you fall under their power. If I prophesy, if I give all the greatest word of knowledge, if your anointing hits you, you are not able to walk for 7 days. You will never get there. So now that you want to rise to the top, there is a program, a training program that will help you there. Pastors, are we helping you? Ministers, the same thing with leaders of society. I consult for a lot of governors and they always tell me, when we start a vocational program, when we start a job creation program in the state, the youths are not interested. They just want free money. Because everything at deliverance phase is free. What Jesus died for, healing is free, salvation is free, deliverance is free. But once you start leading to where they will have to learn, where they will have to pay a price, he said the people, a governor will put the program, the people will refuse to come. Say you are giving out free money, everywhere will be filled. So I explained to them how to cast the vision to get the people to come. Let me solve a second problem. I want to leave. I'm with Apostle. This is not a day's job. It's an ongoing. What he's trying to do is a generational assignment. It's not a day's job. Number two. There are things that people don't learn in classroom. You can teach the courses, but you won't get the product in classroom. You don't produce an Apostle sermon only from classroom work. That's why the best Bible schools, so that when they finish, people have graduated, you'll be waiting to see that heavy duty man of God. The same way, you can't produce a Benihin just by throwing mantle on people. You know how many people would have collected Benihin's mantle? Has fallen. Where are the Benihins? You see now, it requires the two ingredients for creating natural life. It's the same ingredients required for creating spiritual life. In natural life, you bring a seed from the man and an egg from the woman. In spiritual life, you bring the word and the spirit. It's both the word and the spirit. So grace must be backed by knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge alone does not do it. Grace alone does not do it. If the anointing, you can cast it, the anointing will come upon the man, but he will be a disaster. How do you take people through the school of the spirit? to produce prophets, apostles, anointed pastors, anointed men of God, anointed generals, anointed governors, anointed president. How do you produce a Daniel? You have to look at that foundation we call download. What we mean by download is how to download God into a human being. The human being now becomes a container carrying God. You see, prayer has seven purposes. The least out of seven is to get your needs met. When you ask God for this, He does it for you. That's the least thing that prayer does. There is something called the ultimate reward of intercession. The ultimate reward of a prayer life. Let me show you. Maybe I can do it on the same page. Let me see if I can do it here. Yeah. Okay, let me try here and draw this line. I show you the four things that happen in prayer, and the fourth one is the ultimate reward. So, level one is prayer, worship, spending time with God, and there are seven things that happen at this level. All the stages I will show you have seven things. I won't waste more time explaining them. For example, everybody knows that prayer is not just petition, asking God, give me this. That there is a higher level called supplication. There is a level higher than that called intercession. And that all of them must be laced with the incense called thanksgiving. It is that incense that causes the thing to lift into God's presence. Take those four at least. The first thing that come, this school, when you start engaging in the process, and you know the other things that we do there, like fasting, like spending time waiting, listening. The first product that prayer produces is utterance. And there are seven things that happen here. Utterance. Everywhere you read in the Bible, before God uses a man, one of the things you hear is touch my tongue. Utterance means you become the microphone, God becomes the speaker. So, one of the first things you see, like the day of Pentecost, is tongues. Another one is interpretation of tongues. Another one is prophecy. Another one is prophetic praying. Usually, it might come in even before, or it can come in after. There will be many times you leave the realm of human beings praying. It is now the Holy Spirit doing intercession through you. You entered into that divine partnership. Then you move into prophetic preaching. Whenever you come, you speak the word of God. When you finish, people's questions are answered. People's problems are addressed. The words you are speaking has gone beyond just giving information. That's what makes ministry different from lecture. Then the next level that comes as you pray, because it is like the refinery. I'm told you it's a school. The refinery, at the lower level, you get bitumen. This one we use coal to tar the road. You move up, you get kerosene with a lot of soot. When you cook with it, you see a lot of black stuff. It lives on your pot. You move on, you get petrol. You move on, you get aviation fuel. There is a level you get to, it's gases. Because it's layers of purification as he moved. That's what happens with prayer. People who don't stay long, they cross beyond utterance, you move into intelligence. There are seven things that also happen there. At this level, you start knowing things that nobody told you. You start downloading intelligence. After a while, you start downloading revelations. You start downloading pictures, visions. So at this level now, you see word of knowledge start coming. You will move, word of wisdom start coming, where you can see the future. You will move, you get to the point, discerning of spirits in its three and four dimensions start coming. Because it's not just ability to discern demons. Even to see and discern the glory of God. That's even sometimes Jesus appearing, angels appearing, God appearing, and somebody seeing when, oh. God starts sharing his secrets with you. You move further. You break into power. And about seven things happen there too. Usually the first thing you will start experiencing, you stay in prayer till you gain what is called a note of victory. The old timers used to call it praying through. You stay. You don't leave. Intercession is not just starting praying for something. It is remaining committed to the project till the baby comes out of the womb. And there is a feeling that happens when a baby comes out of the womb. There is a different feeling when a woman is in the labor pushing through. So you stay. You move into travail. And you get to a point where you can gain spiritual release, spiritual victory. And you know, it is at that moment that men of God come out, they speak. They speak to weather. They speak to national issues, and it will happen. What we do is that we get up and speak like Elijah with no intercession as a backing. James said that man prayed earnestly that he would not rain. When he obtained the victory, now came out and saw Ahab and said, there will be no rain according to my word. Because God has helped me to enter certain dimensions where the forces of nature obey. I had to understand how men in the Bible can say sun and moon stand still and you will obey. I had to. There are national issues, state issues that's periodical I'm called upon, and the situation is so bad. It will require a creative work to solve that problem. I was called to a state where another state was created and they took away all their oil. And the state crashed. The state was a high flyer, crashed. Their economy became bad. The situation was so bad. And I was there by the second day. I had crossed this boundary. God said, tell them, I want the people that rule the state to hear it, say it publicly, that I'm creating new oil wells for this state. And that is just the beginning. That he's also providing other resources. And I'm going to find them before that year ends. You have to be mad to go and say that kind of thing. When the scientists are saying there is no oil found in the ground, it wasn't up to 2 months I've left. They found oil wells. And they started finding other solid minerals and all kinds of things. I have dealt with all kinds of life. You can imagine where they say, we have not had rain for 3 years, for 4 years. There has been drought. I went to a part of the world where, because of snow and because of, you know, the parts of the world that are in cold, they only have 3 months of normal weather to plant crops. So the farmers, their crops were damaged. A lot of the people who came for the program were telling me stories how their economy was badly affected because of the amount of cold and snow and all ice and all those things that happened. They were not able to. I went home and took it up because I have one more night with them. And I broke into that dimension. And God said, this time around, since they said they always have 3 months, this time around, give them double what they used to have at normal weather. So with that, they will get double the breakthroughs that they normally get in a year. and I came and announced a 6 months period where the weather will hang. And there will be nothing like snow or those cold. And the farmers will do. And people believe God. So they went and made double plan. And that's exactly what happened. The kind of money people sent me from that country. People who did not believe in God. There were certain individuals there who had all these things about God. That was what convinced them. They said they don't believe in miracles. The pastors arrange miracles. Watch, we're going to see strange things in these last days. It's not just healings. It's not just deliverances. We're going to see acts of God in nature. We're going to see God intervening in nature. Oh. There are some things I don't want to say. If you say it, it will look like you're... We're building an auditorium. This one happened in this country, in a particular part of this country. It's not this administration. Another administration was in office. The economy of Nigeria crashed so much. And we have raised the complete money for that project. And then the crash happened, dollar, all of those things. Now, building the auditorium, we could do it here. It was a 10,000 auditorium. But the air conditioning system, you know, this giant, we are flying from Dubai. Our PA system was being brought in from America. Different things that were being imported. Now, we have to either double, start raising funds all over again. Or, what do you do? So I went to the Lord in prayer. You see, this foundational thing, access to the throne, is the beginning of every form of dominion. Spiritual. Until you gain victory in the spirit, forget about it in the natural. And I hit that zone. So I'm talking about the zone of power. The first is that knowing that is beyond this world that comes to your spirit. That point where you have risen beyond the problem that you are praying about, whatever it is, you get an assurance. Then there is a gift of faith. Then there is a gift of healing that is installed into you. And these healings, among the gifts of the Spirit, there are two that come like grapes in clusters. Other ones might come like fruits, like apple, orange, one. This one come in clusters. Gifts of healing is like that. Even when you have it, keep pushing. There are more to that gift. Gift of diverse kinds of tongues is like that. Then there is heavy spiritual authority. And spiritual authority works in four dimensions. First, the highest is having authority with God. God doesn't say no once a word leaves your mouth. The other is having authority before the forces of darkness. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? The third is influence, tremendous influence over human beings. I've set thee over nations to root out, to pull down. One time he told Jeremiah, I'm making you a battle axe. You can even divide a man and a woman. So when one of our brethren strays, if he's a sister, he follows one unbeliever. And they try talking, it won't work. I tell them, bring the case to me. When I deploy what I deploy, the way they will separate, and sometimes it's violent separation, they so separate that the guy doesn't want to see her anymore and she would not cry. I say, come back, oh, come back, come back. A shepherd is supposed to have authority to keep the sheep because they stray. We're supposed to have the rod, the loving leadership, but we are supposed to have both the rod and the staff. That's what Psalm 23 said. He is my shepherd, but his rod and his staff. That's what he used to lead people. One is authority. God gave us people. And I told the Lord, you had only one son of perdition. I don't want to have 100.
He said, of all you gave me, I kept. There is a power given to the shepherd to keep his people. The devil knows that I'm like David. If you come after a sheep, you have to fight with me. You have to fight with the one that sent me. And he has tried many times. And I'll collect the sheep he thought he has captured from his mouth and still tear that his jaw. It's the shepherd's authority. These degrees are gained in prayer, not in classroom. They are gained while spending time. Oh, I need to go. Don't worry. I say it's a project. It's a house that we are building. It's a house. Me and the apostle, we have some. Because there is their generation that will take the church to the finishing line. Yes. There is a generation of the fathers like Elijah that are beginning to go home. You see, Omopai go, and many of them, nobody stays here forever. My generation is the bridge. We are like John the Baptist to their generation. Yeah. And God has blessed me. He gave me so much security. It shows me what my own role is. And I play my role and I'm happy. I step out of the way. I don't want to be what God did not make me. I don't want to go. I don't do that. Because the work that needs to be done requires teamwork. No one church can do it. No one minister can do it. If you are out there, you think you are one exceptional gift. You are alone, can handle all of this. You are in big error. The Bible says he gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the maturing of the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry, equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. But if you follow the seven reasons for giving us this ministry, you see that finally you get there to bring the church to the fullness of the stature of Christ. One ministry gift cannot do it. There's so much to say about these different stages. But you see that lower stage, the prayer, it leads me to what I call the ultimate reward of intercession. The ultimate reward is not the answer to prayer. Because if I actually want to show you the seven things that happened there, the first is getting your prayer answered. It's not it. The ultimate reward is not getting utterance. You become a powerful oracle. You become an oracle of God. It's not it. The ultimate reward is not getting prophetic giftings and revelations. It's not it. The ultimate reward is not operating in power. These are different layers of reward. The ultimate reward is fusion, union, oneness with God. At that ultimate level, the Holy Spirit and the human spirit has so fused together that the thing explodes like something greater than atomic bomb, than nuclear weapon. The Bible said concerning Moses, Moses wist not, he did not know that the fashion of his countenance changed while he talked with God. The ultimate reward of intercession, you become a carrier of the Shekinah. You become a carrier of the glory. You become a carrier of God. The ultimate reward of intercession is not what your prayer accomplished, is who you became as a result of spending time with God. As we behold his glory, we are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. That is what happened to Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. He got to that point, an explosion happened. Divinity swallowed mortality. The people that came with him, like Peter and John, could not recognize him again. He has You know, Paul said, he said that I might know him after being in ministry for many years, that I might know the fellowship of his suffering. Then he mentions an ultimate thing he was looking for, that I may be made conform unto his death, and that I might carry the resurrection life and power. It's resurrection life. There is resurrection life. You know, I said there are things I cannot do. When I talk like that, don't assume I mean that I'm boasting in my own strength. No. No. The church in Nigeria is just preaching the cross. Grace on the basis of the cross. The redeeming grace. The unmerited favor. There is another grace called the enabling grace. The empowering grace. The transforming grace. So, Apostle, there are two sources of this grace. One is from the cross, the finished work of Christ. That gives us the redeeming grace, the unmerited favor and all. And it brought us salvation. There is a transforming grace. There is an empowering grace. It's on you. That's why you do ministry. The empowering. But there is a transformative grace. That grace is what transforms us into his likeness. That grace sets you free from sin. We were not redeemed to be falling back again and again and again and again into sin. No. I want to let you guys know. I need to let you know. I've been a Christian for a number of years. And I went into ministry at the early years. And I found certain sins I was not able to conquer. And I'm always repenting. Always repenting. And I try and I try. I want to walk in God, but I found out I was constantly struggling until I make the breakthrough. The key to victory over sin. This is how I end. Because the ultimate reward is that you produce a holy man. You produce a godly man. You produce a man that is like Jesus. You produce a man that reflects God's glory. It's Romans chapter 8 verse 13. You can even add verse 12 if you want. Please, 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 I need to go. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors to the flesh, not to live after the flesh. That's verse 12. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So how do you conquer the flesh? Look at the key. If ye, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So beyond salvation, there is sanctification. Beyond salvation and God always forgiving your sin, there is victory over sin. There is a life that has been freed, set free from the gravitational pulls of the flesh and the world. Who lives in dominion over it? When next I come around, we are going to explore that. Because a lot of believers are struggling. A lot of ministers are struggling. And some of them have assumed that maybe we are never able to get out of this until rapture. No. Through the Spirit, there is an inner grace, not the one that come upon us for ministry. A sanctifying power, an enabling power. Because the ultimate product of human development is to produce people who live like Jesus. To produce people who are like Jesus. And to produce people who can do the works that he did. And those people are the ones the world is waiting for. Have you ever read Galatians 5 verse 18? Can you show it to them? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Show them Romans 6 verse 14, saying the same thing. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? That grace here is an enabling grace. It is not to be falling and be repenting and be cleansing yourself from the blood. No. The man I learned intercession from, his name is Liz Howard. Look for his book, Liz Howard Intercessor. He is the man that trained and gave Africa Rehabonke. That's the man that raised Rehabonke. That man, he said, once I repent of something once, it will never happen again in my life. He had to discover this enabling grace. The same way we did not save ourselves, it's also power within enables us to live above sin. And my brothers and sisters in ministry, that thing he calls grace is the law of the spirit of life, is the Holy Spirit at work in the believer, producing Christ's nature through him. When that law of the spirit of life is at work, you don't need to control me with constitution. You don't need to control me with 10 commandments. You don't need to control me. For example, now, there is anti-terrorism law in Nigeria. Is it me that you are making that law for? Why will I kidnap another person? Why will I kill another person? That law was made for some people. The 10 commandments, thou shalt not kill. If they make a law now against adultery, if they catch you with somebody's wife, 14 years imprisonment, is it me that you're making that law for? Why am I exempt from external control? Laws written upon tables of stone. Because the law of God is written in my heart. And the power of the Holy Spirit works within me to produce the result you are making the law to produce. I will say this one down here and give you the mic. Pastors and ministers go around quoting Romans chapter 8 verse 1, but they will not quote it completely. The Bible said there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what they tell you. It's not true. It's half truth. The scripture said the people that will not have condemnation are those ones that are in Christ Jesus that are not walking after. A believer can still go to hell if you are doing exactly what unbelievers are doing. I just read it for you in Romans. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to keep obeying the flesh. For if you obey the flesh and live after the flesh, you shall die. You can't go and kill people, unbeliever kill people. God will throw unbeliever to hell and tell you enter heaven. On what basis? We have been set free from sin. Our sins were forgiven by Christ's death and blood on the cross. But the Holy Spirit now came to empower us to live above it. That place Adam fell from is where he has taken us back to. We can live like Jesus here now. You don't know the joy of living a life free from sin, from his dominion, from his condemnation, from all of that. So the audacity I have before God, I have first the standing, the right standing that Jesus gave me. But I have another standing that consecration gave me. The blood of Jesus gave me right standing with God. The inner work of the Holy Spirit gave me complete freedom. He said there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who are no more walking in the flesh, who are living the spirit-led, spirit-controlled life. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Watch the next line. For what the law could not do, that external command, it couldn't change me. The law is good. It sets high standard. But me that is meant to obey it, I'm sold under sin. I'm a slave. So what the law could not do, change my nature and give me the power to even obey it, he couldn't do it. It just set standard for me. God accomplished that thing that the Lord could not do by the death of his son on the cross, which remitted and removed all my sins. And then through the law, the incoming, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within me. Look at the ending. It says, so that the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but what? After. So, adultery is still adultery. The goal of the law is to produce righteousness. The means is by imposing external control. It failed. The goal of the New Testament is also to produce righteousness. But the means now is to put the law of God within our heart and put a driver, the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, in us to lift us out of slavery to sin. So when I say there are things I can't do, some people think it's just based on. No, but at the end of the day, even faith has corresponding action. I also live a disciplined life. I add corresponding action to my convictions. But it's not just from the actions. It is a life that is lived from inside out. God bless you. Thank you.
Keep clapping, everybody. Just a moment.
Clapping, don't stop.